Good morning. Welcome to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Bob Leonard in the studio today. Gary Bell's out of town. We're here talking to you about what we think is a timely topic, a personal injury topic. We've been doing this show for the last 10 to 15 years. We come to you every single Sunday morning to talk to you about a personal injury topic. We are personal injury lawyers. We're located at About Hampton and I-25. We've been the firm of Bell & Pollock since 1984. We practice throughout the Denver metropolitan area and throughout the entire state of Colorado. We will handle your personal injury case for you. We will devise for you and make for you your own legal game plan to help you understand and be able to pursue your case. We see a lot of times when people are talking about different kinds of cases they've handled and what they've done in the past. We're worried about you in the future, and we want to help you. If you've been in a car crash, please give us a call. If you've been hurt as a result of a negligence of another, give us a call, 303-795-5900, bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com, and give us, and we'll talk to you about your case. Like every personal injury law firm out there, your initial consultation is free. You pay lawyers in personal injury cases on a percentage basis. You don't pay them on an hourly basis. And so when you go in to talk to a lawyer for a personal injury case, of course, your consultation is going to be free. You're going to, if you decide to hire the lawyers, you're going to sign up. You're going to pay a percentage of what they recover. That's how personal injury lawyers get paid. So when you're hearing all this stuff about, oh, your initial consultation is free, or come talk to us for free, it's not really unique or different. It's just the way it is. And the idea of whether it's free or not really depends on how hard they're going to try and hard sell you to sign a contract right there. There are firms and there's entities that used to, and I don't know if they're still doing it, but they used to give special prizes, or they used to keep track of whether or not the client was signed on the first time in at the initial initial consultation. We don't do that. I know that I, and I think Bob also, don't even like our clients to sign the contract while in the office. We meet with you, we go through everything, we talk to you about your case, and then we give you the contract and have you take it home. We give you time to read it, review it, talk to other people about it, your loved ones. And if you want to talk to other lawyers about it, you can. And so you can get a clear understanding of what you're getting involved in and what's happening. We will explain the contract. You can call us to discuss it. And then we'll work for you. When you first come in, we're going to talk to you about parameters of what your case might be worth, but somebody telling you they're going to tell you what your case is worth on the first time in to talk to them is not really realistic. Any case to determine what it's worth begins with and has it as an intricate part of it, deals with when you're going to get completely recovered from your injury, and also deals with how much insurance there is available for the case. And rarely do you know the other side's insurance. We're going to talk to you. We're going to let you come into our office and we're going to meet with you. We're available 24/7. You can call our office, and when we're not there, an answering service will be there. If there's an emergency, they can get a hold of a lawyer. They'll make sure your call gets transferred to a lawyer. The lawyer will call you back. Rarely is there a situation where you have to, on an emergency basis, if you had your accident in the night, be talking to the lawyer that night to be finding out what to do. But if you do want to know what to do, and you do want to be able to deal with it, we have an accident packet. And you can just contact us. Contact us at 303-795-5900, or get onto our website, bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com, and ask for one of our accident packets. Put it in your car and you'll have an accident packet that you can pull out and you can look at. If you get hurt in an accident, please get to the hospital, get to a doctor, get yourself taken care of. Don't talk to the adjusters. Talk to and wait to talk to a lawyer. And once you get a chance to talk to a lawyer, give us a call and we'll talk to you. Bob, I think that's the standard practice we should be following.
You know, Brad, I agree with you 100%. I do the same thing you do. When a client comes in, we give them the contract. We say, take it home. This is a legal document. You need to read it. You know, you sit in the office maybe you come in for an hour, spend 50 minutes talking, and we give you the information, that's certainly not enough time to really go through the document. And you're talking about what the value of the case is. I always tell clients, you know, we do a full medical review of all their injuries and damages. But it really ultimately comes down to two parties really have, it's whatever an adjuster puts on the case, whatever you get at a trial with six jurors, strangers to you. And our job is to get you the best results and also minimize your risk. But, you know, we talk about the here on the radio and TV, you see these people, I got $2 million, I got this, you know, I got these large numbers. If you think about it, the number of people driving around with that amount of insurance is pretty small. If you think about it furthermore, the people that get injured that have those gigantic injuries is pretty small. So two small numbers make a real small number. So, you know, that's such an exaggeration, the number of people that are going to get those kinds of big awards.
Right. Getting pulled in because somebody talks about how much money they got in a case means nothing really to you. What it means to you is in the fair representation you hear quite often, they say past results are no indication of future performance. Well, what counts is what's going to happen with you. And we at Bell and Pollock have spent the last 15 years doing shows like this, talking to you about what happens in a case and what happens in particular circumstances to help you. Get on our website. Look at our shows. Look them up. We talk about a number of different topics. We want to educate you and help you understand what goes on. We have a number of books. You can call us 303-795-5900 or write us at championsofthepeople.com. We have a number of books that we can send you to help you understand what you're doing. Now, you know, Bob made a great statement when he said that insurance is where the money is. And what starts with and ends with everything that we deal with is how much insurance there is, because rarely are we talking about people who have extra assets. In the type cases we're talking today, driving under the influence, driving under the influence of alcohol, driving under the influence of drugs, driving under the influence of some type of substance that keeps you from performing and driving correctly.
You know, it could be even sleep, though. Lack of sleep could be.
It absolutely could be. If you've been driving under the, if you've been hurt by somebody driving under the influence, there are additional factors that have to be dealt with. I still remember one of the prominent lawyers that advertises a lot, stating to me that he lost a number of his first cases under driving under the influence of alcohol when the defendant was driving under the influence of alcohol, because he still hadn't grasped the concept when he was a young lawyer of the idea that just because somebody's driving drunk doesn't mean they're necessarily responsible for the crash.
Hey, Brad, does that mean if I'm in a car or is someone driving a car and they're intoxicated and they get rear-ended, would they be charged with DUI or would they be liable, maybe charged with DUI for driving? Would they be liable for the accident? Would they have any liability?
And that's exactly what the point is if you're driving, if you've been in an accident by somebody who's drunk, with somebody who's drunk, but you caused the crash and the drunk did not, then the drunk may go to jail or maybe prosecuted for driving under the influence of alcohol, but the drunk is not going to be responsible for the crash. We still go to the basic elements of a crash. And the basic elements of a crash is, to begin with, is who caused the crash? Who was driving substandard? Who caused, who broke the rules of the road and caused the crash to occur? And if the drunk didn't do it, then the drunk's not going to be held responsible, of course, and that makes sense. So just because they're drunk doesn't mean we give up the basic principles of personal injury law. And personal injury law, when it comes to driving, is you have to have negligence. You have to have somebody driving substandard that has caused the crash, and then you have to have Bob causation, and you have to have damages.
Yes. So in order to have a case, you have to have, as Brad was talking about, three elements. Yeah, the first one, which is liability. Second one would be causation, and the final one would be the damages. So, you know, so if you can, you have to prove liability. And as Brad was stating, you could be, if you ran into someone who was intoxicated, rear-ended them, he may be charged with DUI, but maybe there's no liability on his part just because he was driving drunk. The other part is we talk about causation and damages. Well, you have to have damages in any case to make it go forward. And you have really two different types of damages. You have your special damages, Those are things I always say you can put a price tag on. That's your medical bills. It could be lost wages. It could be other damages where you can actually quantify those. And you'd have your non-special damages would be the pain and suffering. We call this the general damages.
So those are important topics. So those are important factors. You also have the important factor of how much insurance that drunk has, if the drunk causes the crash. And then we get into what we're going to talk about the next segment is the what we call the Dram Shop Act, how we hold other individuals and entities responsible for getting this person drunk. Just because they're drunk doesn't mean that's the end of the story. Just because they only have $25,000 of insurance doesn't mean that's the end of the story. But as you're sitting there, think about this. Can you make the insurance company pay the punitive damages, the exemplary damages that are charged as a result of the drunk driver driving drunk and causing an injury? We're going to take a short break here. You're listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show, Brad Polk and Bob Leonard in studio. We're talking about driving under the influence. It's a holiday weekend. Please be safe. Please be careful. If you've been hurt as a result of the negligence of another, give us a call at 303-795-5900 or at championsofthepeople.com. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're on your way to the store, then boom, you're T-boned at 45 miles per hour. Instead of shopping, you're on your way to the ER. Then comes the doctor visits, prescriptions, therapy, diagnostics, ongoing treatment, and the limitations. You have range of motion problems. Then the ultimate insult. The insurance company makes you feel like the crash was your fault. You need a legal game plan. You want a legal game plan. At Bell & Pollock, we've used over 25 years of experience to develop a legal game plan just for you. Our game plan has injury rules, rules of treatment, rules of claims, insurance company rules, litigation rules, rules they use to beat you. Now you can have them and know them and use them to protect you and your family. Our Bell & Pollock legal game plan gives you the rules the insurance company doesn't want you to have or know or use. But guess what? We do. At Bell & Pollock, success is no accident. Find us at championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Get your free initial consult and your free legal game plan. We'll help you.
Welcome back to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. Brad Polk, Bob Leonard in the studio today. We're talking to you about driving under the influence. It's a holiday weekend. It's a holiday, a couple of days even after the weekend coming up. A number of you are going to be out doing things, enjoying the weekend, enjoying parties, getting back and forth to places. Please use a Lyft or an Uber if you've been drinking. Please use a cab if you've been drinking. Please use a designated driver who really will be a designated driver if you've been drinking. Do not drive drunk. And for those of you who have, I'm sorry to say it. If you're driving drunk and you're causing a crash, we're going to sue you. We're going to look to your insurance and to maybe your own personal assets to be responsible for the injuries you cause others. You can't go out and cause injuries to others and just walk away and think there's no consequences. That's not the way it works. So please, don't be doing it. Don't be driving drunk. Don't be driving with drugs. So, Bob, we talk about drunk driving, and there's a lot of questions that come up.
So, Brad, let's say I was in a car accident with someone who was a drunk. And I are drunk driver. So I've gone through, and that's only $25,000. So I tender that to the insurance company to pay me $25,000. Then I have my uninsured motorist coverage, which I think is the most important part of the whole policy, protects me. So let's say I have $100,000. My losses are $300,000 or more. You know, there's only $125,000 total. What am I going to do, Brad?
Well, that's exactly what the problem is. What are you going to do? You've got $300,000 of damages. The drunk only had $25,000. Of insurance. You're going to get that. Now, does the drunk have any more? Does the person who was on drugs have any more? Do they have any assets? Do they have anything you can collect? This is why sometimes when you see these big verdicts, got a huge verdict. That's why sometimes when you see these huge amounts that are recovered, the basis starts with where's the money? And you've got to find the money. And when you're dealing with a drunk driver who has very little responsibility, especially if it's a repeat drunk driver, a lot of times you're dealing with very little insurance. You've got to have your own insurance. You've got to have your own coverage. You've got to have your own protection. And you want to get that protection and make sure you're protected. Now, is your injury worse because it was inflicted by a drunk driver versus a sober driver. Sometimes we look at what the psychological effect is of somebody who is hurt by a drunk driver, because sometimes people can't handle and they're very upset about the psychological effect. But for the most part, when we're dealing with injuries, just because it was a drunk who caused it does not mean we change the numbers on what the medical bills are. The medical bills are the medical bills. When we do look at the psychological and the emotional effect of a drunk driver having hit you or somebody under the influence or somebody texting, because it does cause a lot of times distress for a person who's been a victim.
And, you know, it's what we do, Brad, is after a case is filed, if someone was drunk driving or driving intoxicated, we consider that willful and wanton behavior. It goes beyond what the norm of what a reasonable person would do. So we can go after them. Sometimes we will amend the complaint that claims for punitive damages.
And we many times have done that. We many times have taken cases against people for punitive damages for willful and wanton behavior. The question that you have to ask is, what's the lawyer's motive? Is the lawyer's motive to get you a better deal and to get you a better settlement or to take you to trial and get you a better case and get you better recovery? Or is the lawyer's motive to try and get some kind of advertising material that they can look and they can talk about in their advertising? And you start with when you sit down with the lawyer and you say, okay, tell me how much insurance the drunk driver has. Now you want to go after the drunk driver for more. You want to go get a huge judgment. They've got $25,000 and the insurance company has offered it. They've given it to us. Now, sometimes, and this is not part for this show, you need to deal with the insurance company and how the insurance company is willing to address the case and protect its own insured. But basically, they say, okay, the insurance company's offered the money. And then the lawyer still wants to go after the drunk driver. And they still want to get a judgment. And you say, well, wait a minute, does the drunk driver have any assets? And they go, well, no, the drunk driver doesn't have any assets. But someday the drunk driver may get assets. Well, what are the chances? What are the chances? Because, yes, sometimes the punitive exemplary damages cannot be bankrupted out. Other damages can be bankrupted out. So you're saying, well, I have a very slim chance of getting any money from this drunk driver beyond what the insurance is. They're not going to have assets. Think about yourself. If somebody got a huge judgment against you, how easy would it be for them to get your money? Remember, the homestead exemption protects the equity in a home. So you're looking, you're saying, okay, how am I going to get my money if you get a huge judgment?
You know, Brad, I always tell my clients, getting the judgment is the easy part. Trying to get the money and the judgment is the hard part. So maybe is there another party, Brad? What about the place that serves the alcohol?
Now, there's the next place. We need to talk about what we call the Dram Shop Act in Colorado. Dram Shop Act is pretty significant. It's pretty special, but you also have to understand that it's got certain time limits. In a normal personal injury case, you have 3 years to bring your case from the date the crash occurred. If it resulted in the death of somebody, a wrongful death claim is only 2 years from the date of the death. So now you've got to back up. You've got to back it up and only have 2 years. But in a dram shop where you're trying to hold responsible the entity that got the person drunk, okay, now we're usually talking about bars and restaurants. We can also be talking about social hosts at a party. But if you're trying to hold them responsible, your statute of limitations is only 1 year.
It's 1 year, which is not very much time when we're looking at someone who may be seriously injured.
Right. It's 1 year from the day of the crash. So think about it. Now, you know, the person who caused the crash could be going through criminal problems. They could be going through criminal prosecution. And if they're going through criminal prosecution, they oftentimes will exercise their right to remain silent. So now you're looking at a drunk who's crashed into you, has caused a terrible crash, and you're trying to find out where they got drunk so you can see if you've got dram shop liability, which adds in another approximately $280,000 into the pot that's available to compensate you for your injuries.
You know, the dram shop is not a slam dunk. I mean, it's very, very difficult because the statute reads that you may have some liability in a dram shop or the restaurant or bar, or maybe the social guest, but you have to prove that the person was, at the time you served them, was intoxicated. They demonstrated that they were actually drunk at that time. Or if you serve a minor under the age of 21, it could be liability.
Right. So what you want to be doing is you want to get lawyers who are experienced and know what they're doing, who can handle these type of cases. At Bell and Pollock, we handle these type of cases. We deal with them all the time. We deal with how to get the information, find out where the drunk was driving. Or I'm sorry, was drinking. Where are they? And oftentimes, you know, we've talked about this before, Bob. Oftentimes, they've been drinking at two or three different places.
Well, so, most likely, you know, people go from bar to bar to bar, hopping, you know, downtown. But the one thing, Brad, is, you know, you hope that the place where they're served has some kind of cameras or some way that they can preserve the data, the information. Maybe it's cash register bills showing that they actually were there.
Or you look for credit card receipts. You look for information about how payment. You see about bartenders. You see about waiters and waitresses. You see about friends, other people who were at the bar, where they might have been drinking. But one of the difficult parts of it is getting the information from the drunk driver to begin with. Because as we said, when a drunk driver causes a crash and hurts somebody, the drunk driver has, at that point, certain criminal rights that start become available to a criminal because they're being prosecuted. And as a criminal defendant, they have certain rights. One of them is to remain silent, not to say anything about what they were doing. They get lawyers. They get people to protect them. And now you're dealing with having to get information from somebody. You've only got a year to do it, to name that bar or to name that restaurant or to name the social host. And by the way, on a social host, if you're holding the party, the only time you're really responsible is if you've been serving a minor. Do not serve minors. Just do not let minors drink at your parties. Do not let minors drink anywhere that you're around. It just isn't worth the potential.
So Brad, if I have teenage kids and I'm say, you know, I want to have a safe party, and I'm going to have this safe party, kids come to my house and decide we're going to let them drink, should I do that?
Oh, absolutely not. You cannot let them drink. And if for some reason they are drinking, you can't let them out of the house. You can't let them behind the wheel of a car. You're just asking to destroy your life, to destroy their lives, to destroy the lives of the people they're going to run into. You just can't do that. It's not the thing to do.
What about my adult neighbor? Comes to my house and gets intoxicated.
The adult neighbor who gets intoxicated, leaves drunk, you don't have any responsibility for them. None.
But for kids, I do.
If for kids, you do. If you have a liquor license, though, and you're selling the liquor, and you're selling it to people who are visibly intoxicated, or that you should know who are drunk, and this includes if you sent 7, 8, 9 drinks, or if you sent 12 drinks over to a table of two people, by gosh, the waiter and the waitress and everybody else knows they've just drank 6 drinks in the last hour and a half. They're going to be drunk. You can't let that happen.
What about underage drinkers? What if someone shows me a fake ID?
Underage drinkers are going to be responsible, and fake IDs don't get you anywhere nowadays. The bottom line is, if they're underage, you're in trouble for what you do. You cannot serve underage drinkers. So what do you got to do? This is one of the occasions where I will tell you, if you're the victim of drunk driving or driving while intoxicated or somebody who is driving with drugs or some kind of foreign substance, it's so important at that point that you do talk to a lawyer and get in touch with a lawyer within the first 3, 4, 5 days of the crash. And if your loved one is in the hospital or if they're injured and they can't contact a lawyer, you got to contact us and try and do it within the first week. Now, if you're sitting out there and you say, 6 months ago, I was in a crash and I got hurt by a drunk driver, I don't have a lawyer yet, all is not lost. Contact us. If it was 9 months ago, contact us. Let us get involved right away to help you. You can call us at 303-795-5900 at bellpollock.com. We are Bell and Pollock, personal injury lawyers, or Champions of the People. How easy is that? Champions of the People. We will explain and give you a rundown on what your legal rights are. We're going to take a break and we're going to be back. We're talking to you about driving under the influence. Do not drive under the influence this weekend. Make sure you have some type of ride if you're going to be drinking. And we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're on your way to the store, then boom, you're T-boned at 45 miles per hour. Instead of shopping, you're on your way to the ER. Then comes the doctor visits, prescriptions, therapy, diagnostics, ongoing treatment, and the limitations. You have range of motion problems. Then the ultimate insult. The insurance company makes you feel like the crash was your fault. You need a legal game plan. You want a legal game plan. At Bell & Pollock, we've used over 25 years of experience to develop a legal game plan just for you. Our game plan has injury rules, rules of treatment, rules of claims, insurance company rules, litigation rules, rules they use to beat you. Now you can have them and know them and use them to protect you and your family. Our Bell & Pollock legal game plan gives you the rules the insurance company doesn't want you to have, or know, or use. But guess what? We do. At Bell & Pollock, success is no accident. Find us at championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Get your free initial consult and your free legal game plan. We'll help you.
Welcome back to the Bell & Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Bob Leonard in studio today. We've been talking to you about driving under the influence. Please don't drive under the influence. But if you are the victim of somebody who was driving under the influences and injures you, if you've been injured by somebody in that circumstance, or if you end up being injured, especially over this holiday that way, give us a call. We'll put together for you a legal game plan. You can call us at 303-795-5900 at bellpollock.com or at Champions of the People. You can contact us on the internet. It's an interactive website. You can get a hold of us and we'll help you. We'll put together a legal game plan for you to make sure you're protected.
And one thing you need to understand is we've talked about a dram shop case with the statute of limitations of 1 year. You know, regular liability or statute of limitations for a normal automobile accident is 3 years. You got to understand, if you're going to want to bring a dram shop case, you only get one bite at this apple. You can't bring a dram shop case and two years later, bring another case. So everything has to be done within that 1 year, and it takes a skilled attorney like the ones at Bell & Pollock to know where to find the information, how to keep the information from being, as we say, spoilation. We got to make sure that the proper letters get out to all the different parties, we talk to the defendant's attorney, get him involved. So there's a lot of work to get done.
You've been listening to the Bell & Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Bob Leonard in the studio today. We come to you each and every Sunday morning on the same station, same time. For those of you who are headed up skiing or heading up to different places to enjoy our mountains and enjoy it and be safe. For those of you who are going to be out and about this coming weekend, the holiday week, be careful and be safe. And we'll talk to you next week.